They are isolated. They're isolated in the Security Council, and they're isolated around the globe.
Tough strategy decisions to counter Russia. It's Tuesday, March 8th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us online. You'll find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, public opinion supports Ukraine. Difficulty delivering aid. The war on media. Women are honored. Revving engines in Pakistan. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Ukraine remains under attack from Russian forces waging war on orders from Russia's President Vladimir Putin. Steadily increasing Western sanctions have so far failed to deter Russia's aggression, as evacuation efforts in Ukraine stall because of indiscriminate bombing of civilian infrastructure. VOA's Arash Arabisadi has more.
Evacuation efforts in Ukraine's port city of Mariupol stall for a second straight day amid continued shelling by Russian forces. This despite a ceasefire announcement by the Russian Defense Ministry. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has appealed so far unsuccessfully for establishing a no-fly zone over Ukraine, a call Western powers reject.
I think there are a lot of things we can do to help Ukraine protect itself, both from airstrikes and missile strikes, but I think the people need to understand what a no-fly zone means. It's not some rule you pass that everybody has to oblige by. It's the willingness to shoot down the aircrafts of the Russian Federation, which is basically the beginning of World War III.
Russian forces continue pounding civilian and residential infrastructure with shelling in Ukrainian cities. Western powers, meanwhile, continue increasing sanctions on Russian President Vladimir Putin and those closest to him, sending tumbling the value of the Russian ruble. Putin called sanctions a declaration of war as he himself wages one on his neighbor.
This is not an easy way forward for President Putin. And as you know, we got 141 votes against the Russians at the Security Council. They are isolated. They're isolated in the Security Council, and they're isolated around the globe.
And while the Russian Defense Ministry released unverified images claiming to show a drone strike on Ukrainian military positions while Russian tanks roll through unidentifiable wooded areas, the mayor of Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, says Ukrainians will fight for their country's life, but that the fight is bigger than Ukraine.
We don't want back to USSR. We see our future as democratic, modern European country. And we expect support from whole world, because we fighting not just for Ukraine, we fighting for values, we fighting for whole modern world. We have to stop Putin altogether.
Thousands of Ukrainians in cars on the outskirts of the capital line up to evacuate, with some placing signs in their car windows reading "children" and "evacuation." But Ukrainians fight on. This unverified video from the Ukrainian military claims to show a Russian combat helicopter shot down, the latest in a resistance effort widely regarded as fierce. As Ukrainian armed forces, many of whom were civilians just weeks ago, prepare for Russian advances on Kyiv, the West seems prepared to continue material support, stopping short of military engagement with Russia. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News, Washington.
Developments are coming in rapidly. Stay up to date with us at VOA Asia. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and of course, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. China renews call for United States to unconditionally release Afghanistan assets and lift unilateral sanctions. South Korea bans transactions with Russia's central bank. Crisis in Ukraine drives food prices higher around the world. North Korea says missile launch was a spy satellite system test. Sydney faces more rain as death toll from Australian floods rise. Expanded coverage of all these stories and much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Check us out as well. We're at Instagram and Twitter and at voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. Recent polls show Americans increasingly approve of President Joe Biden's handling of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Also, a growing proportion of Americans agree that paying more for gas because of sanctions against Moscow is worthwhile to defend another democratic country. Chief White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the story. Ukraine!
An outpouring of support from Americans for Ukraine at a recent rally in front of the White House.
I think it's really, really crucial that world's leaders act and are vocal about what's happening in Ukraine.
You know, just to see what everyone's just going through, just to survive is just, it's impactful. And I mean, this is literally the least I could do.
Democracy is fragile, not in Ukraine, but across the entire world. And to me, this is a domino effect.
Americans have rallied in other cities, including Los Angeles and New York.
Hands off Ukraine!
At President Joe Biden's State of the Union address,
send an unmistakable signal to the world, Ukraine.
A standing ovation by Democrat and Republican lawmakers for the Ukrainian ambassador. As the Russian invasion unfolded, Americans' approval of Biden's response increased.
I believe he's doing all he can. I wish that he would do more. I understand the delicate balance and the desire to avoid getting into an escalating conflict.
43% of Americans say they approve of Biden's response to Russia, up from 34% last week, according to a Reuters Ipsos poll.
Across the board, we see approximately 7 to 9% increase in support in specific policies related to the Ukraine. And this is something very typical. We often see this during times of war and conflict. We call this the rally around the flag effect.
According to the same poll, 58% say it's worthwhile to pay more for gas as a result of sanctions against Russia imposed to defend another democratic country. But not all Americans agree, including some followers of Donald Trump. The former president has been using the crisis to attack Biden.
The problem is not that Putin is smart, which of course he's smart, but the real problem is that our leaders are dumb. Dumb.
Overall, polls suggest Americans are in favor of humanitarian and military support, but against sending U.S. troops to Ukraine. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, it is increasingly difficult to get aid into Ukraine. Happening now in Asia, Song-Yong Il, the chairman of South Korea's ruling Democratic Party, received stitches Monday and likely avoided serious injury after he was attacked by a man wielding a hammer-like object during a rally for presidential candidate Lee Jae-myung days ahead of the country's elections. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us this morning on VOA Asia. We hope you're doing well. United Nations aid agencies are calling for unimpeded access to all areas of Ukraine in need of humanitarian assistance and protection. The appeal came during a brief period of time when Russia called for a temporary ceasefire to allow civilians to leave the besieged cities of Mariupol and Volnovakha. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, welcomes a reported agreement between Ukraine and Russia to facilitate safe passage for civilians out of conflict areas. However, OCHA spokesman Jens Laerke says UN officials have not yet received anything in writing from the two sides on the establishment of humanitarian corridors. He says people are terrified by the violence unfolding around them across Ukraine, and millions urgently need safe passage and life-saving aid.
We look to both sides to ensure the passage is organized in a manner that allows for safety, dignity, and protection of those civilians. Humanitarian organizations stand ready to work with the parties to protect and care for the civilians, whether they choose to stay or to leave the concerned areas.
The UN Children's Fund says escalating violence over the past week has forced 500,000 children to flee their homes. UNICEF spokesman James Elder is in the western Ukrainian city of Lviv, some 60 kilometers from the Polish border. He says the scale and speed of the forced displacement is unprecedented.
And if the violence, the explosive munitions don't stop, many, many more children will be forced to flee their country in a very short space of time. And we fear many more will be killed. We must also remember those who cannot escape the bombardment currently rocking Ukraine. Tens of thousands of children are in childcare institutions. Many of these are disabled.
UN Refugee Agency Media Chief Junga Gedini-Williams is in the Moldovan city of Palanka. She describes the rate of the ongoing refugee exodus from Ukraine as phenomenal.
It because we've seen the numbers increase not only day on day, but hourly. And I think that what we're seeing is the devastating toll that over a week of just unabated tragedy is having on people.
The latest UNHCR figures show more than 1.3 million Ukrainians have fled to Poland, Hungary, Moldova, Romania, and other European countries. The agency is preparing to assist up to 4 million Ukrainian refugees, making this the biggest refugee crisis this century. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
As international sanctions on Moscow have triggered a decrease in the ruble's value, North Korean workers in Russia are struggling to meet the remittance quota set by Pyongyang. That's according to multiple sources in Russia and official North Korean documents obtained by VOA's Korean service. North Korea is believed to use the hard currency to fund development of its weapons. North Koreans working at Pyongyang's entities and front companies, contracted with enterprises in Russia, are paid in rubles. As of 2020, there were 1,000 North Koreans working in Russia, according to the Russian Foreign Ministry. Because the regime prefers dollars to rubles, the North Koreans convert their rubles before remitting them to Pyongyang. The sharp drop of the ruble has slashed the amount of dollars North Korea workers can send back to Pyongyang. When Russia invaded Ukraine on February 24th, $1 was worth about 84 rubles. On March 4th, it took more than 106 rubles to get a dollar. VOA's Korean service is in regular contact with several sources in Russia who are familiar with the situation of North Korean workers there. Only the most trusted North Koreans are allowed to work in Russia and elsewhere outside their country. Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. China on Monday described its relationship with Russia as still rock solid, despite international condemnation of Russia's ongoing invasion of Ukraine and Beijing saying it was open to helping mediate peace. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. More now on VOA Asia. The crisis in Ukraine has sparked a media war with its invading neighbor, Russia. One of Australia's biggest satellite television services has suspended broadcasts of the Russian state broadcaster RT because of the conflict in Ukraine. The government in Canberra has imposed more sanctions on Russia as international anger over its invasion intensifies. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
The Kremlin-backed channel told its viewers that it's being taken off the air by a major Australian satellite network.
And now a leading Australian pay TV company, Foxtel, will no longer distribute our channel RT, citing the crisis in Ukraine. Well, Foxtel has sent a letter to us here at RT, basically saying it ended distribution over, quote, concern about the situation in Ukraine. The channel added that it considers it has the right to do so under the license agreement with this network.
RT's deputy editor-in-chief Annabelle Keener told the Russian state broadcaster that the Australian ban is unfair.
If ever there were time to recognise the importance of all fact-gathering news and understanding of all views, it is now.
The European Union announced Sunday it will ban RT and Sputnik, another state-backed broadcast and news agency, because EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen says they spread their lies to justify Putin's war. The British government says RT is part of Russia's global disinformation campaign. Australian authorities are imposing more sanctions on President Vladimir Putin and his inner circle, including financial and travel bans on Russian officials and a block on the export of Australian goods for use in oil and gas exploration and weapons production. The Canberra government is also sending millions of dollars of what it calls lethal military aid to Ukraine, with Federal Treasurer Josh Frydenberg telling the Australian Broadcasting Corporation that talks are continuing with the United States and its allies.
Those discussions are ongoing about the nature of that lethal equipment. Obviously, we've made public the non-lethal support that we're providing. We have already put sanctions on more than 350 Russian individuals, including Vladimir Putin himself. Overnight, I spoke to my US counterpart, US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, and we agreed to continue to cooperate closely in turning the screws on Vladimir Putin and his cronies.
President Putin Sunday ordered Russia's nuclear forces to be put on high alert, telling military officers that leading NATO powers have made aggressive statements. Frydenberg says that's a worrying escalation in the conflict. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison told a Brisbane radio station that he will speak with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky later Monday. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is Science in a Minute.
Last August 26th, a pulse of powerful gamma radiation was detected by NASA's Fermi Gamma Ray Space Telescope. It turns out it only lasted for about 1 second and is the shortest gamma ray burst spotted to date. The researchers say the quick pulse had been heading toward our planet for 6.6 billion years, almost half the age of the universe. Gamma rays are released by a supernova, which is the explosive death of a massive star. They are said to have the smallest wavelength on the electromagnetic spectrum and produce the highest energy among all forms of light. Gamma rays produced within 6,000 light years away could mean serious trouble if it were to hit Earth, but since this burst took place billions of light years away, no noticeable effect was reported. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Making headlines in Asia, Hong Kong has begun to use refrigerated shipping containers for corpses to take pressure off of overburdened hospitals, as Hong Kong is now struggling with its worst coronavirus outbreak since the pandemic began. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, it's International Women's Day, celebrated on March 8th each year. International Women's Day aims to focus global attention on the state of women when it comes to gender equality, bias, stereotypes, and discrimination. Its goal is to make the world more diverse, equitable, and inclusive for them. VOA's Laurel Bowman has that story.
We've heard the famous quotes, "Behind every great woman is another great woman." Investing in a woman is investing in a community. When women move forward, the world moves with them. International Women's Day on March 8th invites the world to focus on where women are and where they need to go. In the United States, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation held a virtual two-day forum to highlight International Women's Day. Paloma Adams-Allen is with USAID.
Real progress has been made in recent decades, yet women and girls continue to shoulder a profoundly disproportionate burden of the impacts of today's global challenges.
There were shout-outs for women in Ukraine, whose country is under attack by Russia.
As the conflict continues to unfold, we're seeing women play a crucial role in resisting Russia's campaign of violence, responding to the urgent needs of their communities, combating disinformation, taking up arms to fight, and engaging on the diplomatic front.
Experts also noted that women around the world have carried a good bulk of the burden in responding to the global COVID-19 pandemic, as both healthcare workers and caregivers, both in the home and in the workplace.
Child care, elder care, home care too often are inaccessible and unaffordable, while at the same time, care workers scramble to care for their own families, even as they take care of others.
Meantime, women were forced out of jobs during the COVID-19 pandemic. In the U.S., more than 3 million women exited the labor market over the past 2 years, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation, with women's participation in the workplace lower than it's been in over 30 years. And women and girls are more likely to be killed by natural disasters as the rate and severity of climate shocks increase globally, according to USAID. Advocates for women's rights would also like to see more women in top government and political roles.
We need to have more girls and women participating in civics and politics. I think even when we are almost 49% of the population, we are not equally represented in the positions of power.
Experts laud the progress women have made so far, but want to see more when it comes to gender equity, diversity, and inclusiveness. Laurel Bowman, VOA News, Washington.
In keeping with International Women's Day, we bring you the story of a 22-year-old woman who is turning heads as she competes in off-road rally racing in Pakistan. VOA Sidra Dar files this report, narrated by Aisha Khalid from Karachi's deserts.
Sports is one of the professions in Pakistan where women are severely underrepresented. This is especially true in off-road rally racing, which is dominated by men. At age 22, Maham Shiraz is changing the game and the face of the sport by challenging her male counterparts.
The sport, it's dangerous for everyone, chahe mard ho, aurat ho, ladki ho, ladka ho.
This sport is dangerous for both men and women. All you can do is take the best possible precautions for safety. Although just like any other sports, anything can happen. There's a little more risk involved here because you are in a vehicle and in the desert.
When she began racing at the age of 18, the law student was the youngest off-road racer. Shiraz acknowledges that racing in her custom-built rally car is terrifying, but she enjoys it.
There is a kind of nervousness when you are in the desert, but this also gives you courage. This fear also gives you motivation to finish the track. Hence, I consider this a good thing.
Shiraz's interest in off-road car racing over challenging terrain was sparked by her father, who is also a successful off-road racer and a biggest supporter.
Obviously, the first person who disagreed with my daughter racing was my own father, but I wanted my daughter to be into what I was into, not by force, only if she wanted, of course.
Shiraz made her debut at the 20-kilometer-long off-road hub rally in Balochistan's desert. Thanks to her father's encouragement and support, she has received awards at every event in which she has competed thus far. She did, however, have to deal with a bad accident, which she says became a memorable lesson.
My car was rolled over in the race.
My vehicle turned over twice and was destroyed. Its windscreen windows were shattered and tires sprung out. My hand got injured. But since the most important thing for any race is to finish the race, as soon as the vehicle got in the running condition, I cleaned my hand and drove for 70 kilometers without the windshield. I put on the mask, goggles, as dirt got into my mouth, but that was most memorable for me.
Shiraz says while she does receive some negative comments, people mostly react positively toward her participation.
At times, people would comment at my height, saying I'm too short, or some would leave comments on my interviews on social media that girls should not be doing this and that I should be in the kitchen. However, most of the responses have been positive.
Whether at home or on the racetrack, Shiraz says she values the encouragement she has received, which has allowed her to make a name for herself in a sport and inspire millions of Pakistani girls. For Sidra Dar in Karachi, Pakistan, Aisha Khalid, VOA News.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. Between now and our next program at this time tomorrow, be sure to follow us online. You'll find us at Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jessica Stone. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.